Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
Here we go, boys.
And the Bulldog.
Oh!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Grand Island might have won the snow competition for today.
I'm seeing
on Channel 2, they were on top, 22 inches.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Wow.
Yes. I am not the official measurer or anything,
but I do live there.
Do we like that there's a game tonight? Like, does it feel it's different?
No, I don't. It is different. I don't have to hate everything that's different, but I sort of keep forgetting that there's a game.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean it won't be a gift when I turn a gift. Oh my God. You know, that I won't be happy when I turn it on. Like, oh, look, great. A football game and it's a playoff game. Okay.
Bulldog will be like that. Those car commercials for Christmas where like you walk outside and there's a bull on a truck.
Oh, it's the Cardinals and the Rams. Oh, look, honey, I spent $120,000 on vehicles for Christmas. Oh my God. I hate those people. All right. Anyway. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't like the Monday night thing. I miss the early game Saturday, and I don't know, man. I still don't think it's really all that fair.
I know
that somebody's got to play tonight and then get ready to play a playoff game. I mean, I know the schedule is what the schedule is during the season, and they got these abomination of a Thursday night thing that make guys like you know play Sundays and then play Thursdays, and that's obscene. And this is not quite that. But man, it's the playoffs. I don't know. I don't like this Monday night thing.
It's kind of tough.
Think it's fair. I would have been pretty pissed off if the Bills ended up there.
It's kind of tough on Tampa, maybe, too. Like they don't have to travel, but
they gotta wait.
You never have had to wait until Monday night, like midnight Monday or whatever it's going to be, to find out who you're playing in round two.
And I kind of assumed, just to try to make it as fair as they could, that this game, whoever wins this game, that game would be the last game Sunday. Just give whoever, because someone's going to win tonight, and then they got to go to Tampa next week. And, you know, both teams are out west, so it's not like it's not a big deal to go from L.A. to Arizona. If Arizona wins, go home, rest, and then travel. But I just thought that they would give them the biggest window. So I was surprised when the schedule came, and you know they're playing early Sunday, but still they could have flipped the Bills in this game, the winner of this game in Tampa next week.
They could have. They did not. 803-0550 Cardinals and Rams tonight on WGR in the final wild card round game. 8 o'clock is when our coverage starts. I think. All right, here is Mark with us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Show Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling us.
Hey, Emma. Thanks for all the hype, too. You guys do a bang-up job, you know, with the fans. Part of the gig, you know, hyping Buffalo up and the Mafia, et cetera, et cetera. Keeping in mind that when you come down off this stuff, it can kind of be not too pleasurable. But I wanted to ask you about the chicken broth. What the heck is in the chicken broth? Can we get with Vandy Glad or Kim Pegula and get the Bills Mafia, what kind of chicken broth that was, or what they did to the, you know, it seemed like, you know, everybody on the bench and the players were really, you know, and they're all drinking that chicken broth.
All right.
I had never
Sal Patel on it.
Yeah, before Saturday night, I had never heard of that. That's not to say that I know it to be unprecedented or anything. I would bet probably that it isn't, but I just never heard of it before. A team using that as one of the, you know, one of the ways to try to keep warm. But, you know, if it worked, you know, fine. Does it travel? Can you bring the chicken? I hope so. Bring the chicken broth to Kansas City. Let's go. Keep it going.
Can you just put a whole buffet on the sideline? Any food? What do you think? Can you just put, like, sort of a spread out there?
Like a Super Bowl party spread?
Yeah, like in case you get hungry when some the wing, offense is on the field. You just want to get a sandwich or something. Right? Is that what we're talking about? They had chicken broth on the sideline to help stay warm? Is that the point?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they want like one of those big one of those big jugs that they would have coffee in normally, you know, like that they have in the press box when we used to go to games. I think they had one of those filled with chicken broth, or more than one or whatever, but there was chicken broth there. Yes.
Did you miss, by the way, being in the press box when Ross Tucker tweeted a picture of the food?
I did not see that tweet.
A cookie, a bag of chips, and a wheat bread sandwich.
Yeah.
He's in L.A. He's in L.A. now for this game. He's got this game tonight, too. Yeah. He had Philadelphia yesterday.
I don't think I would have missed that. I think I would have been okay. But I did. It was, like, look, you know how it comes up from time to time. Like, I enjoy this working like we've been working now for a couple of years. I mean, obviously, I don't love the circumstances that led to it, but I enjoy this. I wished I had been there. I wished we had been there Saturday night just to get a taste of it.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
I missed being there.
I mean, it's a game that fans who were there will talk about forever.
Yeah.
That they were there for that game. I mean, it's one reason why we go, so that you can have that. You ever go to a game, like a random game somewhere, baseball, you know, for me, like I'll just go to a random game. If there's a perfect game or four home runs or whatever, like, you know, I have a ticket. I was at that. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of a cool thing. Let's go to Brendan next. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, guys. I was at the game. It was a great experience. I was at the 51-3 game back a long, long time ago. I was 10 years old. But like this is right up there with it. It was so wonderful. I wanted to make a note on all the different personnel groupings. I think you guys were talking about it earlier. You know, and I heard people on New England radio complaining how, you know, New England didn't adjust. I think it's really hard to adjust when there's 14 personnel groupings and every one of them is working. I don't know what they would have done. You know, they couldn't figure out what was coming. And just last
good point.
Week, like mm-hmm. I've noticed, I've never seen this in a game before. Maybe I've just never seen it, but every time there was like a TV timeout or anything where play was stopped, just the linemen would come out. If we were on offense, just the linemen and Josh would come out, and the wide receivers, the backs, the tight ends all stayed on the sideline till the very last second. And again, I think it made it a little bit harder for New England to know what was coming. Mm-hmm. And also probably kept our guys warm until the last second. But yeah, it was a great time. It was a great win. And thanks.
Thank you.
That's a really awesome pickup. Like to notice that. Thank you for sharing that with us and our audience. You know, I give Daboll a lot of credit for going that route on offense. Just because like it can be the kind of thing where if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work for whatever reason, like, you know, we will decide what the reason is. And one reason you might decide that things went poorly is because you tried to do too much. Just be, you know, find what works, right? Right. The K-gun Bills, right? Didn't they joke around? They had like seven plays or something,
yep.
You know, mm-hmm. Right? That was one of the things from those days. Just get in your groove and just, you know, do the thing that you do best and, you know, make them stop you. And instead, Daboll went the other way and was maybe as complicated as any game plan they've had. It certainly sounds like it from the number of different personnel groupings that were used. But the value in doing that is, yeah, I mean, I think it makes it hard for the defense to ever really sort of, oh, here's this again, right? I know what this is. I just saw this last series, or I saw this on first down before they got a first down just now. So, okay, I think nope. Just constantly changing. I think that can be when it works. I mean, it's beautiful. And I think, I mean, the results speak for themselves on Saturday night.
Well, right. I mean, you're going, I think most of us, I mentioned it to Eric Wood, caller mentioned on Saturday night after the game, like, bottom line, how did they do it? Execution is always the first thing. This play call, you're in that personnel, so I've got the play I think is the perfect play for this matchup you're in, and something happens at the snap that changes it, and you never know about it. It goes away forever. It came and went in a second. Like, all kinds of that. We get done with the game, and we think team A had, like, this figured out, or vice versa. Maybe. How you execute the plays. Don't trip over your lineman when you drop back to pass. You know, the block has to get – the blitzer has to get picked up. Everything. All those details, most of them are just lost on us because you can't know what's coming in the first place. So it's always the execution first. But then, fine. You know, Josh Allen makes a throw. He's throwing the ball away, and he's walking back to the huddle, and he finds out it was a touchdown. I mean, it was their night.
Right.
Like – had four incompletions and five touchdown passes. Execution perfect, but there still have to be questions as to sort of where did New England go? And this point about the variety and how the Bills lined up is huge. It's got to be. You know, you've played a team twice besides, and you have some framework. You have some idea of what to expect. And the Bills, not only did the execution come close to perfection, but they must have done things, maybe including this, I think probably, I mean, that makes sense, that helped them get through. And then, you know, you get to a point where it's like, what, 28 to nothing? 27, sorry, 27 yep. to nothing. And then, I mean, it's over. And then everything's just easier. The longer you take the lead, as the lead grows, just gets easier, to the point where it doesn't even matter
sure.
almost
yeah, I
anymore.
Mean, just, you can almost, I mean, I don't know that there's visual evidence of this as much as there is. It's just, it's anecdotal. Like, emotionally, you're watching, you just think, this team just wants to get on the bus and get out of here. You know, I mean, it's that cold. The game's going the way it's going. Like, are you really think you're getting back in this? I mean, you know. you know they know. There's like, all right, we just got to keep playing. Right. This handoff, clock's running. Okay. Can we get out of here yet? No. Oh, jeez. Oh, now you threw it to a fat guy? Oh, my God. just get me on the plane. I want to get out of here.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get to your calls again in a second. Just thought I might mention this. I see that there's a game right now between the Kings and the Sharks. And in that game, Timo Meier for the Sharks has four goals in the first 21 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty good, right? Maybe yeah. you'd want to sort of keep tabs on the Kings and the Sharks.
I might have to get there.
What's the record? Seven?
Good question.
Joe Malone?
I don't know.
Seven, Joe Malone.
All right. There it is.
He's got a shot at Joe Malone. I mean, pass it to Timo Meier. Everybody. Even the Kings. No, that's not. I don't really mean that. Sharks minus 10,000 on the live betting at FanDuel. Here it's 5-1. Here's Ken with us. Hello, Ken.
Hi, guys. Try to stay warm today. Question. Well, something about the games and then a funny footnote about the game Saturday night. So, first of all, I think, Shope, you were talking about how it rates. I think it rates number two behind the comeback, and only because the comeback to me was the first half, your season was over, your feelings were, it's out of here, half the place cleared out. And then the second half, bam, and you're blowing them out and winning. And, it, you know, the swing of emotion mm-hmm. was something you just could never duplicate again, I don't think. And that's why I'd place it number one, but I would definitely place this one number two over the 51-3 game. And the reason being, it's the Patriots. It's your division rivals, your most hated foe. And, you know, with that win, I think you guys were talking about the mystique of the Patriots. I think that's lost on this team for a few reasons, not only because of this game and that they've beaten them, what, four out of the last five times now. I think if we look back, albeit from Jerry Hughes, this coaching staff and this team knows what it means to the fans, but they weren't here for that psychological being bombarded by these guys. They were not constantly intimidated by these guys. They weren't on those teams. So they could look at this with fresh eyes and say, this is an opponent, a division opponent. It's going to be a tough game. They're good. But not with this, they're unbeatable factor in their head. It just doesn't get in their psyche, I think.
And the funny totally.
Quick note mm-hmm. to that is, I don't know if you guys caught the, I think it's called Get Up in the Morning on ESPN, but Rex Ryan made a reference to what Jerry Hughes did in a post-game interview when he was talking about how the defense was getting disrespected in that. And he said, Rex Ryan goes, well, I'm going to tell you what that's about because nationally there's a guy there, Jerry Sullivan there, that kind of ticked him off. And I thought that was kind of funny for anybody in Buffalo to follow Jerry Sullivan to know that, you know, he brought that right up nationally about Jerry pissing off the defense with this question.
Well, then we should thank him.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was funny, and, you know, nobody else is going to catch what anybody knows what that means unless you live around the Buffalo area.
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of self-evident. You're talking about a media guy, right? We have a clip of Dawkins talking about how everybody was crushing Singletary, and, you know, there's a lot of people talking. That's the thing. Like, there's just more people are talking than ever. Maybe we should just, you know, send Jerry a beer. He's a friend of ours. Yeah, that was a memorable moment exchange. If the defense, I don't know if I care what Rex thinks. If you're supposed to think they're playing better because of that, then good. It's a good story. Thanks, Ken. On the comeback game, that's a fair point. I think this game, I don't know, you can compare them lots of different ways, right? But this game, the obvious combination of all the years with the Patriots, one, the stakes of it being a playoff game, like all the pressure this year, this is your year, not theirs, rookie quarterback factor, all of that. So pressure's on. 4 degrees, by the way. Like a lot sort of conspires here to make you nervous, too. And then you played arguably, I mean, it can be called a perfect game. 3.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The comeback game was terrible for a half. And yeah. it does make the game, it sets up what happened, of course, and makes it so memorable, but wow, just what was it like? We talked to how many fans a day? Maybe 10. You have 70,000 people there. Most of whom are rooting for the Bills. What and most of whom remember all these losses and all these years. Even Super Bowl 25 if you want it. What was it like to be in the stadium and look at Belichick? You don't know what he's thinking. You could barely see his face.
Right.
But it's almost like, no. It's 27-0. Like you said, let's get on the bus. Guess what? They don't get to get on the bus. You have to stand here and take it. You have to stand here and watch your team lose to mine to the tune of 47-17 with everybody watching. You have to stand here as the world sort of acknowledges the shift in power. I mean, that puts a smile on your face.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and I don't I don't balk at all at it outranking the comeback game myself. I mean, Dennis can have his own rankings. 51-3 to me is almost unassailably number one for me anyway. You'd have a very hard time talking me out of it. I mean, for all of all the ghosts, all the fears, all the anxieties, how it never goes right. And like, you know, I know they lose the Super Bowl, but to be in a game for the, you know, with a chance to go to the Super Bowl and you're at home and to have it go like that. I mean, 51-3 is incredible. 41-3 at halftime is obscene. And I know there's no drama within that, but it's the one really massive sporting event in our history to me that I think I don't need the drama. The drama is in the fact that like this is all being relieved at once quickly, and we're just going to hang out and sing songs the rest of the day. And oh, and then next week they get to go to Tampa and play the Super Bowl. That can't be beat for me. That's a very hard score to beat.
Yeah, that's very reasonable. Thanks, Ken. Eric is next. Hi, Eric.
Hi, gentlemen. I went to the game. In fact, it was the first one I'd been to in a long time, and I went with my two nearly grown-up kids, 17 and 19, who hadn't been to a Bills game, actually, because I don't go to that many of them. And my wife got us some warm gear at the last minute on Amazon, and we stood on cardboard, which was a very you know, important mm-hmm. thing, by the way. But I was at the Raiders game when it was even colder. I remember the ball not getting any loft at all, like on kicks especially. And I remember Tasker catching a ball like right in front of his face practically and running it back, you know, to, you know, near the goal line. And that was a very, very cold game. I was worried about ball security and whether the kicking game would be any good at all, or everything that, you know, we're good at, we wouldn't be able to use. And I was very, very impressed with, you know, how well they did everything, and none of that turned out to be a factor. And by the way, we never sat down because they were just scoring and scoring and scoring. And when they weren't scoring, they were stopping the Pats. But that kind of low stress game is a pleasure to be at. By the way, I was also at the two week later game against in Montana's last game. When it was about 35 and it was snowing like snowflakes the size of your head. And, you know, we just had our shirts open because we knew we were going to that fourth Super Bowl. And that was pretty good, too.
93. So are you a hugger at games?
Nobody tried to hug me. Everybody was very happy and we did a lot of high-fiving. And if I didn't get COVID in this game, it's a miracle.
Yeah, so. I'm wondering if hugging is down, Eric.
Right.
It might be. I was happy enough to hug, but nobody went for it. I don't think people are attracted to me, you know, in that
Eric, it sounds like you got some things to maybe work out there.
Nobody went
for it. It is, know this, Eric, it's hard to hug with all that gear on.
That's right. That's the excuse.
You can't really get around. You just, like, it's just you can't really get your arms around it. You're just like, what are we doing here? Yeah, it's tough.
You know, it's a Michelin man out there.
Right, it's tough to hug like that.
It was great. Yeah. It was a hell of a lot of fun, and the field looked so clean and bright, and I sat down like right after right before they kicked the ball off, and they just started scoring nonstop. So that wasn't a bad night.
That'll keep you warm, Eric. Yeah. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. No poll yet.
What do we need a poll about?
Is hugging down?
Is hugging down?
It probably is.
Yeah.
I mean, hugging in my games, those 88 to 93, those playoff games I went to, hugging might have been up. Hmm. Hugging was omnipresent.
And how did you feel about that? Because I don't think you are a big hug guy.
No, I don't. Maybe that's what did it.
Yeah.
Maybe I got sort of hugged out.
Yeah.
In those days, I don't know. You're right. You're right. I'm not. You're right. What do you think, Joe? Joe's not on board.
No, it's not.
You're trying to trade for Brady and Dynasty? You're doing something else?
I was thinking about that before, but now with this Wickersham thing.
Are you Wickersham thing? You're busy with something? That's fine.
Do you hate the people in holiday car commercials who walk outside to a vehicle with a bow on it? Was what I was busy with. That poll's up.
That poll is up.
Yeah, 88% say yes.
Yeah, I mean, just there was one where the cars just appear out of nowhere in the forest. Like there's a dog.
Yeah.
And a car just sort of drives into the.
Yeah.
Where was this the whole day?
Yeah.
Where was this Lexus the whole day? But now it just drives out of this.
Here, I got you a puppy. Oh, here, I got you a $65,000 truck.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
I mean, it must work. I mean, the car company's been doing it forever, so, I mean, what do I know? But, man, I hate those ads make me crazy.
Moving on. I'm going to fold up this paper and go to the next paper. Sports with Joe. Thanks for listening, everybody. Fun times. Kansas City, again, Sunday night, 6:30. For that one, if you didn't see it last night, I was just like, when are they going to tell us? I mean, the Chiefs are up 40-7. Can you just tell us what? Can we just sort of safely say this is the game? Like, can we just go with this? So eventually they did. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The season comes down to this. It is Carr end zone. Intercepted! First time in 31 years, Cincinnati, your Bengals have won a playoff game.
Oh, yeah. So long ago. That game on Saturday afternoon was pretty good. Bengals, yeah. Bengals are the better team.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
How live are they in this playoff tournament? Plus yeah. Three at Tennessee, or 3.5.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Do we need to power rank them and use that to determine who we should pick?
Maybe they're last year's Bills and they'll win one more game than the Bills could win. I don't know. I don't think it's there yet. I don't think it's all the way there yet. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that offense, but I don't know. I just can't really get my head around them being even in the AFC title game, let alone going to the Super Bowl.
How about that whistle play?
Oh my God! The entire thing was just so poorly done,
and also predictable. Also predictable.
I mean, it's why you might. I mean, I don't know. Drew Brees is in the booth for that, right?
Yep.
I mean, maybe have somebody in there who does that job. I mean, I know he does Notre Dame games. I got a Drew Brees problem, apparently. But it was horrendous that it took, like everyone watching, right? I'm watching, we're watching, and we see that, and Tirico even reacts like, is he out of bounds? Because he heard the whistle. When they finally got around to talking about it on the broadcast, 10 minutes later, Brees admitted he heard the whistle live.
He said he did.
Didn't acknowledge it, didn't say anything about it, just, all right, whatever. And then the story the league told or the officials told afterward was hilarious.
Right.
So much so that, I don't know, I think I saw Doug Farrar retweet this. He was like, I don't want to get into the grassy knoll here, but watch this clip, and now watch the clip that's on the NFL site. And tell me the whistle doesn't come at a different time on the one that's like the highlight that's up on NFL.com or wherever it was. And it does. I mean, it's we're talking about fractions of seconds here, but it was just terrible. I mean, to blow the whistle in the first place, he's not even that close to the sideline. relatively speaking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's clear if you're standing there, like, as soon as you saw a replay of it, like, oh, he's not out at all. Like, how in the world does the – is that the side judge over there? How in the world does he – if he's – that's his job, is watching that, and he surmises, oh, yeah, he stepped out.
Well, he doesn't blow the whistle on at the time of Burrow's step, his last step, which is inbounds. It's after that. It's after he's thrown the ball. The official is probably assuming that Burrow is throwing the ball away because that's what everybody does on that play. So he's got, you know, this is going to sound like a defense of the official, and you can tell me it's not worth it. He is assuming that the ball is thrown away because who is throwing the ball into the end zone on that particular kind of rollout?
So you're saying he didn't think he was necessarily out. He just thought this is a nothing play, and he just blew the whistle too quickly.
That's
possible.
I don't think he's thinking he stepped out or else he would have blown the whistle at his step. He doesn't. And you also have a quarterback and a defensive player or even two approaching, and there's an instinct there like, don't hit him. The players have it. The officials have it. Everybody's sort of watching for that. With Burrow running to the sideline, the thing you're watching for is not who's open in the end zone. That's what Burrow is watching for. But everybody watching the game is watching to see if he's going to get touched after he gets to the line. You know, he's going to throw the ball away or just run out of bounds. That's what's going in like 1 second before it ends. That's what he's going to do. And so the official is probably thinking those things. Like, you know, I got to stop you from throwing a hit that I have to throw a flag on. And, you know, the ball, he's not throwing a touchdown pass here. So it's not like you would just think that all through. It would just be like, you know, you just sort of do it.
Yeah.
And definitely it was before the ball was caught. The players would have heard it. You see players sort of standing around, the Raiders.
The player closest to, who caught the touchdown again?
Boyd.
The player closest to him looks like he stopped.
Yeah, it does.
Now, he might have just been beat and not in a position to make a play on the ball, and so that can make you just stop too. Like, I'm powerless, but it looked like he stopped. Like, just a fraction, just the littlest bit early.
It's long enough. There was enough time. It's a split second, but there's enough time for you to react to it, to be seen reacting to it. But it's very little. And, you know, the players are probably also thinking, if they are, if they're watching the quarterback, like, this isn't going to be, he's not going to really throw, you know, he's not going to really try this.
Right.
So what should have happened?
To me, the controversy would have been a lot more pronounced and louder had they not ruled it a touchdown. Like, I was watching that play and seeing the reaction. Like, yeah, the referee does a horrible job, but every angle I saw, like, Boyd is going to get that touchdown. And that would have just taken a touchdown that should have counted off the board and given the Raiders a lame excuse for saving 6 points. So while the ref did a horrible job, and by the letter of the law, they probably did the wrong thing, I think they got the right result.
Well, it sounds like we're talking about hockey now.
Right.
We're like, the offside challenge is, well, this is the rule, A, but B, do we need it? Do we need to count the rule? The rule says, the official, Terry McCauley, who works for NBC, came on and said, what should have happened is they should have replayed the down. If a whistle goes while the ball is in the air, the rule is to replay the down. So the officials look bad if that happens. But, you know, this is the world now. We can't look bad. We can't just admit it. We have to lie. We have to edit the tape. We have to pretend like, you know, something different happened.
I think in all of the pretending, like, I think Joe's on the right track here. That the result was probably the right result. I mean, you know, you might feel differently if it's your team and all that. And I got room for that. We've had our share, for sure. My biggest problem was the broadcast. Like, the broadcast ignoring
always,
it for 10 minutes.
Always.
100% that was these games, wins and losses and hirings and firings and all, like, there are repercussions, and those are very real. But for me as a football fan viewer, the thing that was most offensive to me was that NBC treated it like it had not happened until they had no choice but to act like it happened. And if we didn't have Twitter, like, if this were 20 years ago, it would never been acknowledged at all.
NBC did what the league did. What you just said also speaks to what the league did. Do we have to address this? Okay, we'll address this. Which the bottom line is what? That is the league. Those NFL broadcasts are the league. They are.
Right.
when Joe Buck says, my phone is ringing, Donald Parham, hey, it's cold here today, maybe that head hit he just took has something to do with the temperature. Like, he's the NFL in that moment. He's not a real person. He's not somebody who's just like, oh, my God, this guy's concussed. I hope he survives. You know, like a real person would do. He's just more, he can't use the word concussion. He's not allowed to use the word concussion. None of them ever is. That's like number one thing you work on those broadcasts, you are told is do never say that word. Anybody listening now, you find me an example, and not like in sort of like a story off to the side, but maybe even that too. Like, you can't use that word. So that, I mean, it's all an ad. Yep. Right? It's all the same product. It's all an ad. And Tirico, I mean, he's good. Isn't Tirico somebody you'd like to trust in that spot?
Yeah. That's what was so maddening about it to me, because he acknowledges, like, to me the reason he says that he stepped out of bounds is because of the whistle. I suppose from his vantage point, maybe. I mean, certainly the player is close enough to the sideline that you might wonder. But the thing that triggers you, I think, watching that play, I didn't think anything about him getting out of bounds until I heard the whistle watching it live. Like, now I hear a whistle and I'm thinking they think he's out of bounds, and Tirico's telling you they think he's out of bounds, and then to just ignore it for that long until, again, there's 10 minutes worth of people on Twitter going, am I being gaslighted here? Like, I heard a whistle, didn't I? And, like, finally, oh, yeah, no, actually, here's what happened. And I just, man, and I know, like, everything you just said about the broadcast and the property and, you know, who they work for, like, we all, that's all baked into this frustration. Like, I know
right,
that.
Right.
And so I know that that's how it is. But, man, like, when you are trying to ignore something that you reacted like, we know you plainly heard it, and we all plainly heard it, and you helped us hear it by reacting the way you did, and now you're pretending that it didn't happen until you have no choice but to acknowledge it, man, that there's nothing worse than that.
I know.
It's just the worst. I mean, I know, like, people aren't living and dying over this, but, like, it, for sports, it's the most frustrated I can get. Like, just please tell me what happened. Like, I'm going to rewind because I want to make sure I heard the whistle. Am I insane? Was that a fan blowing a whistle? Like, what just happened?
So do you say what Joe said then? Like, give him the touchdown anyway?
I think that the result ended up being right. Because I don't know that the Raider defender closest to Boyd has a chance if he keeps going anyway. And I know that's a lot. That's not how you should do these things, but I think they got the right result in the end.
Right. It opens up a dangerous door to, like, subjectivity. But, like, I would have appreciated much more instead of coming out and saying, you know, it was non-reviewable. And the refs didn't feel on the field that it came before the play. If they had come out and said that the official in the booth called down to the official and said, you screwed this up, the whistle should not have been blown, and we felt that due to the time lapse between the whistle and where the play stood, where the ball was in the air, where the defender was, that there was no way, or almost no way, that this was not going to be a touchdown, so we are upholding it as a touchdown despite the fact that the whistle went. Like, if they had come out and said that, I would have respected it a billion times more, and I would have appreciated that, despite the fact that, again, you're opening a dangerous door there, I don't want them doing that all the time, they would have gotten it right. And that, to me, is what I care about at the end of the day. Did you get it right?
You're still getting it right, though. To say that, you're still assuming something that I'm not sure is right to assume, which is that the Raiders could not have made the play. It seems right, but why do we have rules? So that we don't have to judge these things. Like, whistle blown, dead ball, that's it. It would have seemed really stupid. It's an amazing play. They win by a touchdown. Maybe they lose the game because of it. An official's error. To me, worse than the official's error is, yeah, you know, we know there's a rule, but so what? That's where, if that happens, if that Raider game, like, who would think the Raiders would win the game? Maybe. I mean, they made it interesting. If that's us, we're never letting that go.
Oh, my God.
For the rest of our lives, we're talking about the game where they blew the whistle.
Yeah,
and you're like, you weren't going to win anyway. He wasn't going to make the play anyway. On and on and on and on. Yeah, but that's the rule. Yeah. I played that card a little bit at halftime of Buffalo-Houston, where the Bills recovered a fumble in the end zone for a touchdown. And the ref comes on. Might have been McCauley or Corrente, whoever. He's like, yeah, you know what? Not really.
Right. Yeah, whoops.
Remember that? Like, that's half the opening kickoff of the second half in Houston. The Bills are winning 16-0, maybe, and they recover a fumble for a touchdown there. Then you've got the guy on the black coat. Like, we can't allow this, right? This was stupid. We can't allow this. They weren't ready or something. And so they didn't count it because they thought it was just too stupid. The play happened. But, you know, come on. Let's just be sort of normal about this. Not a quote, but.
Yeah, it's awfully easy to be, like, when you're not emotionally attached to it, to say, like, I think they got the right outcome. Like, you, no, you're right. I mean, I'm probably burning things down to the ground if that happens to us.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. We've got Sal and Paul next hour. We'll check with Paul on the hockey game today. Sal Capaccio coming up first. Here is Zach with us. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Super. Thanks.
So as far as the hugging comment goes from, I think, the last caller or somewhere last hour, I can't speak for everybody in the stadium, obviously, but as far as my section went, I mean, hugging was absolutely back on the menu this year, I would say. So it was whether you wanted it or not, you're getting hugged. And I mean, after the fourth touchdown, I mean, I'm falling into people hugging everybody. So
do you think it's because of a lack of hugging and, like, sort of in recent times where we needed more of it back?
Yes, I can agree with that for sure. I would say, and just the moment of it all, obviously, but it accentuated everything. But hugging for sure. Big time hugging event, I would say.
This game gets a high hugging score.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then beyond that, I just wanted to, you know, I'm 29 years old. So while I was alive for a couple of those Super Bowls, obviously was not cognizant of them. And, you know, I lived through the drought years like most of everybody, obviously. And, you know, the one thing kind of growing up here, especially with, like, parents and grandparents that have always kind of been into the team, you always hear these stories of, like, oh, I was at this game. It was so epic. And, like, you know, we were drinking beers and doing this and in the parking lot all day long, and it's just, like, the coolest time ever. And, you know, you hear these things, and I'm like, well, damn, like, I want to have one of those for myself. And, you know, I've been to plenty of Bills games that they've won and, you know, won greatly at. But, you know, it really wasn't until this weekend that I feel, like, so stoked to get to say that I finally get to have one of those experiences, you know, that my, you know, the older people before me got to have.
Right.
And it's just a really cool thing, I think. So.
Yes, great point. Great point. Thank you, Zach. Sure.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it is people getting that, like, they've got a score to beat now. And I'm not laughing at it. Like, you're talking about the comeback game, and somebody called us earlier about 51-3 and whatever. Like, I'm not rolling my eyes at any of that, and I wished I had been there. And I don't like to leave my house.
Evidently, this chair over here is just, it's amazing you can still sit in it. I don't know. Does that make sense? Does that work? Like, do chairs become hard? Like, do chairs just fall apart if not sat in for years?
A lack
like,
of what, use?
Does that work? No. Or do they last longer this way? Maybe I should have gone the other direction with that.
Yeah.
Mike Mayock out with the Raiders just then from Ian Rappaport. Sal Capaccio after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.